Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, December 10th, 2023. Now, beloved, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by the anointed servant leaders of Spirit Alive in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and then Saints of God. Here we honor our elders. We have Elder Lee Larson, Sister Elder Terry Larson, and my spiritual auntie, hallelujah, Sister Nita. So we just, on behalf of all of us, we just want to say thank you. And welcome for joining us this morning, and welcome to this morning's service. Hallelujah. So right now, let us go to the Lord. Hallelujah. And let us open our worship service in prayer. Almost High, we come before your throne this morning just thanking you and praising you for yet another opportunity to come out and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we praise you this morning because you are worthy to be praised. You didn't have to wake us up this morning, Father God, but you did. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Now, Father, as we go into this worship service, we ask that you search us. And if there is anything in us, Lord God, that is not like you, we pray that you remove it right now in the name of Jesus and allow your Holy Spirit to step into us in a way that we will forever turn from whatever that thing was or is, Lord God. We just want to thank you for all our listeners this morning. We want to thank you for those that are listening in the chat room. We want to thank you for those who are listening via Skype and via Instagram. We want to thank you for all those listening via their computers. We want to thank you for all of those that are listening right here in the sanctuary, Lord, and for those who will listen in rebroadcast all over the world. Lord, we are here to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And it is in your Son Jesus' holy and righteous name we do pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
to God, and hallelujah, let us sing joy to the world, hallelujah, because we are celebrating, hallelujah, the birth of our Savior, hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading, my brothers and sisters. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the most beloved and highly esteemed mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come, and she will read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled "In Destined to Reign." So now, my brothers and sisters, retrieve your Bibles if you have not already done so and give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning again, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far from me you are. The meditational reading is entitled this morning, "Jesus' Blood Speaks Better Things." We'll be looking at Hebrew, the 12th chapter, the 24th verse. It reads, "To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." Now, today, forensic scientists tells us that blood has a voice. DNA can be extracted from just one small drop of a murderer's blood, and the results used in court is evidence. So blood, in a sense, can speak. And when it is the blood of Jesus, it speaks better things than Abel. Cries out, "Vengeance, vengeance," after his brother Cain murdered him. You can read about that in Genesis 4, verses 8 through 11. But Jesus' blood cries out forgiveness for our sins, healing for our bodies, and peace and soundness for our minds. It cries out protection for our coming and going, prosperity for the works of our hands. The righteousness of Christ is our acceptance before God, and much more. In the Bible, Jesus' blood speaks of better things. It's found in the context of the last days when things are being shaken, so that the things which cannot be shaken will remain. You can read about that in Hebrews 12 and 27. God wants you to know that you will not be shaken in Jesus' blood, which speaks better things for you. That is why God wants you to see Jesus' blood shed for you in every area that causes your heart to tremble and your confidence to be shaken. For example, if you are afraid of losing your job, speak the blood of Jesus over your job. His blood cries out favor with his boss. And in these days, when you are shaken by fears and terrorism may strike anyone, anywhere, anytime, plead the blood of Jesus, which cries out protection and deliverance. When fear rises in your heart as the doctor gives you his prognosis, plead the blood of Jesus over your body. His blood cries out healing and wholeness. Eternal blood of Jesus, which speaks better things, will never lose its power. Beloved, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, Hebrews 12 and 25. See that you keep hearing the voice of grace, which speaks salvation, righteousness, protection, deliverance, prosperity, and healing over your life. May God add blessings and, I'm sorry, may the Lord add blessings and favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. And the thought for the day, you will not be shaken when you put your faith in Jesus' blood, which speaks better things for you. Amen and glory to God. Amen.
Prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and we view this as the most important part of our service simply because We are standing in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over the world. Hallelujah. And we want you to know that when we pray, we take our prayer time very seriously. Hallelujah, because we believe that prayer changes things. And when we abide in the Lord and he abides in us, we believe that we can go to him and ask him whatever. And he says, it shall be done. So right now, my brothers and sisters, I want you to bow your heart and prepare to go to the throne of grace with our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Apostle Zeta? Okay. Apostle
amen.
Zeta must be amen.
Civil.
Thank you.
My phone fell. Okay, we are going to go into prayer. We thank the Lord for all that has gone forth to this far. But we're in great need of prayer this morning all over the world, as Shirlene mentioned. Praise God. So let us go right into prayer. Father God, we come humbly before you this morning, knowing who you are, knowing that you are greater. Greater. Your power supersedes any other. So we come to you this morning in behalf of many. We know that there is a world crisis, and so we come to you with that, Lord, asking, Lord, that you would begin to move. And we know that you are, but we're asking, Lord, that you would move in a greater way throughout the world. Those that are suffering, many are suffering for many reasons. The war, praise God, the ongoing terrorism. There are many that are feeling like they're outcast, unloved, lost, suffering from their pain, their hurts, and all kinds of things. We speak salvation for them. We also pray for their needs to be met. So many have great needs. Unhoused, displaced, not enough food. Water.
My Lord.
We pray, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, that those that are without will be served. Those that are without will have what they don't have right now. We pray, Lord, that you will send, that you will continue. We know that many are going out and aiding these people, but there's still not enough. We pray that you will continue to send forth aid to them in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that many will turn to know you even in these crisis situations. We pray, Lord, for those that are oppressed and depressed. We pray for help to come in the name of Jesus. Lord, send forth those that you have raised to minister to them. Lord, allow Christian therapists to touch in their lives in the name of Jesus, that they will be free of their oppression and depression, that they will be helped. In
yes,
the name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
in
Lord.
The name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Those that are suffering from mental disorders, we lift them up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, asking, Lord, that they will somehow feel your love and your gentleness, your presence.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We come against those that are demonized, because many are. We pray that they will be set free, that they will be delivered in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, and totally free of their mental disorders in the name of Jesus. We pray that they will be touched in a special way in Jesus' name. We lift up those that are in hospitals, those that are sick, those that are forgotten. We pray, Lord, that you will instill hope, love, in the name of Jesus for them. We pray for healings, miracles,
yes,
and breakthroughs of all kinds.
Yeah.
For your people, in the name of Jesus, whatever they may be going through, Lord, losses of loved ones, those that need to be comforted today, we pray that they will be, that they will be comforted, and that they will feel your presence. They will feel your love in Jesus' name. And we pray also for your hand of protection all over the world, all around us, in our communities.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord.
And minister. We pray for your hand of protection on churches. Many churches are being attacked. We pray for your hand of protection upon them, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We pray for your hand of protection over schools and over homes.
Yes,
where
yes,
people
Lord.
Are just taking charge and breaking in and robbing and all of these kinds of things. We pray, Lord, that these murderers and thieves will be accountable for their deeds in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
But we also pray for their souls. If their souls are touched and their souls are saved, hallelujah, then we see less crime. We see less murders. We see less breaking ins.
Yes,
in the name
Lord.
Of Jesus. We just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your hand stretched out. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Help. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we lift up marriages. We pray that you will bring these husbands and wives together in love, in the name of Jesus, that their children will experience love in the home, that they will know what it's really like to have a mother and a father that's serving God, that's living for God. We pray for so that they will have peace and love and harmony in their homes with one another. Also lift up the new babies that are being born every hour. We lift them up,
yes,
Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
That these babies will be well cared for. We come against that spirit of abuse. We pray for these babies will... that these babies will be brought up in the knowledge of God, in the name of Jesus. And we also pray for those that are in bondage to sin, in bondage in jails, in prisons.
Yes, Lord.
And, the youth that are in captivity. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for freedom. And when we pray for freedom, Lord, we're looking for them to be saved. We're believing for salvation for them in the name of Jesus. We also pray, Lord, for Spirit Alive Ministries, other churches and ministries connected in
Lord.
The name of Jesus.
Yes.
Street ministries.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Serving and about to serve even in a greater way. And we pray for the churches without walls.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that you will give each what they need for the serving of those that you are sending them out to serve. And those that are on Spirit Alive that listen in, those that are listening in today,
yes.
Lord, we pray a blessing upon them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And if there's anyone that's listening in today that are sick, hallelujah, those that are in need of a miracle, healing, deliverance, and whatever the needs may be, financial and otherwise, we lift it all up to you, Lord, asking that you would move in a mighty way in their situations.
Yes,
we also lift up Evangelist Michelle Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that she will continue to get stronger.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Touch, Lord. Touch in her home.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Bless the family members.
Yes,
their
Lord.
Mother and wife is recuperating.
Yes,
and we
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing for each of us.
Yes, Lord.
We praise
thank
your
you.
Name.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for what you have done, what you continue to do, and what you're going to take place through your blessings.
Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah and glory to God. Again, I'd like to say good morning to all of you that are just joining us. Hallelujah. I want to make sure that I say good morning to both of my spiritual aunts that are in the house. They are our elders, and we praise God for them. Good morning. Hallelujah. It's now time for this morning's teaching, but before I begin, I first want to give honor to God, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to give honor to all the wonderful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive and to you, my brothers and sisters all over the world. May the love, grace, joy, mercy, and peace of God be yours today and always. Now, Saints, last week I asked everyone if we were dreaming of the right Christmas, because I knew that I was going to have the follow-up question today. And that follow-up question is, whose birthday is it anyway? Now, you know, I'm pretty sure that all of us that are here would probably emphatically and without hesitation answer that question with, well, Apostle, you know it's Jesus' birthday. But does that simple answer convey the awesomeness of Christmas? So to make it clear to ourselves and others that the birthday celebration we will have on December 25th is much more than a choice between Santa and Jesus, because we need to answer the question, whose birthday is it anyway, more thoroughly, and I believe very carefully. Amen. The word of God that will lead us to several answers to that question is found in the book, in our psalm for this morning. So I want you to please direct your attention to Psalm 24, because all of us and every other believer, we've all been invited to a birthday party unlike any other. So, please, open your Bibles to Psalm 24 and we're going to begin to answer that question, whose birthday is it anyway? Okay. The word of God declares and decrees in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And like I said, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, O Most High, I come once again to your throne of grace, asking that I completely decrease, so that you can have all the increase, all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Lord, I pray that you use my simple teaching to disciple your people in a way that they will have a closer relationship with you, that they would truly understand the awesomeness of who you are. Lord, I pray for all the lost souls this morning, and I pray that they will hear something through this teaching that will cause them to give their lives to you so that you might be their Lord and Savior now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Well, whose birthday is it anyway? Well, thanks. A lot of ink has been put to paper by pastors and Bible students speculating about Psalm 24. And for what occasion the Holy Spirit had moved David to write this psalm? What was its purpose? Some have said that Psalm 24 was composed for the time that David brought the Ark of Covenant out of storage at the house of Obed-Edom and took it to the capital city of Jerusalem. Now, and this psalm does fit that context because the people of Israel would have been welcoming to a visible symbol of God's presence. So the words of this psalm could fit such a celebration. On the other hand, perhaps the Holy Spirit prompted David to author this psalm simply to encourage his people to welcome God into their worship, into their hearts, and into their lives. Now, although their original purpose is unclear, thousands of years later, these words will speak to the people of God. And I'm here to tell you that they take on a special meaning for us during Advent. We are preparing to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And this psalm tells us about the great guest of honor. And that would be none other than Jesus, who is our Creator, our Savior, and our King. Now, verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 24 begin to answer our question about Christmas and whose birthday it is it anyway? Because the Word of God says the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. You see, Christmas is the birthday of the one who created the world. Oh, yes, hallelujah, it is the birthday of our Creator. Now, when you just think about it, our reaction to this news might be similar to the reaction that Mary had when she heard the angel's message. Oh, my goodness, this seems impossible. How can the same God who created the world have a human body? And logical minds might ask, is Christmas really the birth of our Creator? Well, it would do us all some good to remember that although it may appear to be an impossibility, we know that nothing is impossible with God. Now, listen to what the Bible says about Jesus' participation in the work of the creation. John 1:3 tells us, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in Colossians 1:15-16, the Apostle Paul declared, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And then Hebrews 1:2 connect Jesus to the creation by saying that he was the one God the Father appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Listen to me. Yes, the little baby who had a wooden manger for his crib had also created the wood out of which that crib was made. He created the straw for the animals in the stable where he was born. He even created the womb in which he spent 9 months. Unbelievable, awesome, amazing. Whose birthday is it anyway? We should be shouting from the rooftop that Christmas is the birthday of our Creator. Yeah. Now, although some of us can struggle to believe this and can barely understand what it means, the fact that Christmas is the birthday of our Creator will certainly influence how we celebrate it. Those warm and fuzzy feelings must give way to deep respect and honor and pure reverence. Listen, we wouldn't dare go to the manger to make funny faces and sounds for a baby. Why? Because Jesus deserves our worship, solemn reverence, our praise. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 95:6-7 tells us, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. See, there will be plenty of time for celebration this Christmas. Oh, we will have the opportunity to laugh and to shout for joy at the miracle of Christ's birth. But let part of our party this Christmas center on the fact that he is our Creator.
Yes.
Whose birthday is it anyway? Psalm 24 has given us one part of our answer to that question. Christmas is Jesus' birthday, and the scriptures speak loudly and clearly, and they are very, 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 very clear that he is our Creator. So Christmas is indeed the birthday of our Creator. And since we are talking about birthday parties, I want us all to imagine just for a moment that we've been invited to a birthday party. Now, when it's time to get ready for the party, we will need to answer a few questions. What to wear? What gift to take? How are we supposed to act at this party? Now, in order to answer those questions, we need some more information, wouldn't we? Whose birthday party are we going to? Is it for family members or maybe your boss? Will it be a party for a child or an adult? Will it be informal or casual? Excuse me. Is it meant to be a serious party, or is it one of those I'm sorry you turned 40 birthday parties with lots of jokes and gag gifts. Excuse me. In 15 days, Saints, we will be invited to attend a birthday party. Now, what kind of party will it be? It is important for us to remember who the guest of honor will be. Knowing whose birthday we are celebrating will then guide us to our preparation for the party. Knowing that Christmas is the birthday of our Creator might at first intimidate us. How do you get a gift for someone who literally has everything and owns the whole world? What do you say or do to properly celebrate his birth? Psalm 20, excuse me. Psalm 24 goes on to remind us that Christmas is not only the birthday of our Creator, it's also the birthday of our Savior. Saints of God, excuse me, just for a moment. Father God, I know the enemy doesn't want this message to go forth, but I, your servant, I am determined that it is, and it will. So, Lord, I ask you that you just anoint my voice right now.
Right now,
remove it right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But, Lord, this is not my word that I have for the people. It is your word.
Your word.
So, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you shut it down for your glory. I pray it all in your name. Amen and amen.
Yes, amen, amen.
Now, as I was saying, Psalm 24 goes on to remind us that Christmas is not only the birthday of our Creator, it is the birthday of our Savior. And then the Word says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not lift up his soul to idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindications from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. See, David presents us with two thoughts. He tells us how to prepare to celebrate our Lord's birthday. He tells us about the gifts that we will receive from him as we welcome him this Christmas. Now, obviously, there was no such thing as Christmas when Jesus wrote the psalm. He wrote about how he and his people would properly worship God. The thought of standing before God, who was so holy, so powerful, and so glorious that his presence consumed those who disobeyed him, must have terrified the people. David didn't downplay that proper fear of God's holiness and respect was commanded by God. But he also declared that God is merciful and forgiving. But before we can think that we naturally deserve a place in Jesus' birthday party, we need to revisit those requirements to attend. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Well, the Word of God says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not lift up his soul to idols or swear by what is false. Now, saints, we got to keep it really real this morning. Do we always have clean hands and a pure heart? I don't think so, because some of our hands may have been raised in anger to gestures that were intended to cause intimidation or fear. Some of our hands may have served sin in ways that we are too embarrassed to even tell anyone. Or maybe some of our hearts have been far from pure because of the pride that resides there and wants all the glory for yourself instead of worshiping God. Or maybe at times we've had thoughts that don't honor God's gift of sex within marriage. And we allow our minds to be adulterated with these thoughts. Discontentment over what we have. Jealousy over what others have. Desires for revenge against those who have hurt us. All of this can swirl around like a sewer of sin that rises up from our hearts. We can also lift up our souls to idols, as David wrote. And what he's saying is anytime we elevate someone or something above our love for God, we have broken the first commandment. The picture that David gives us of who may celebrate Jesus' birth is not one into which we in and of ourselves would fit into. So how can we celebrate Jesus' birthday? David tells us that the one born in Bethlehem is our Savior. He has made it possible. See, we need to understand something. Jesus never threw a temper tantrum during what should have been the terrible twos. See, from toddler to teenager, he always had a pure heart. And even when Satan offered him all the wealth of the world, he never lifted his soul to not one idol. Now, through faith in him, we are declared sinless and holy. And we are invited to his birthday, and we are welcome when we attend. Hallelujah. Yeah. Our prayer is the one that David prayed. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. That's Psalm 51 and 10. Unlike most birthday parties where the guest would give gifts to the Jesus in this case, thanks to God, Jesus gives the gift. The Word of God says he will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Considering whose birthday we are celebrating, I'm here to tell you right now, we can expect lavish party favors that will last through all eternity. Hallelujah. Because, see, when we have been invited to Jesus' birthday party, guess what, thanks to God? We get all kind of gifts. This big old beautifully wrapped box comes rolling in that says salvation, reconciliation, mediation, Holy Spirit filled, love, peace, joy, wisdom and understanding. Oh, hallelujah.
Preach, girl. Preach it.
I'm telling you, when we go to Jesus' party, we will be surrounded with so many beautifully wrapped boxes because they all contain these gifts and so many more. But let us not forget that main gift that we get from Jesus. Propitiation. He died so we might live. So whose birthday is it anyway? The first answer that we found to the question should never intimidate us. It's the birthday of our Creator, but it's also the birthday of our Savior, who makes us worthy to celebrate his birth. He welcomes our praise and our worship. Why? Because he himself has taken away our sins. And he gives us many, many, many blessings when we come to honor him. The third and final thing I'm going to share with you about whose birthday is it anyway, is you need to understand it's the birthday of our King. So how do you properly celebrate the birthday of our Creator and our Savior? Listen to how David encouraged his people to welcome their Creator and Savior. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. So as you can see, not only are we celebrating the birthday of our Creator and of our Savior, we are celebrating the birth of our King, you see. God, King Jesus, is an awesome warrior. And you know what? He deserves honor from us. And David invited his people to welcome God into their city and into their lives in a way that they understood from their culture. At that time, when a king came to his capital city, the gates would, of course, be open to welcome him. Since the king was coming into the city, it was also assumed that there was no danger to his people, because he wouldn't have let them open the gates if there was an enemy threat in the area. Now, building on that thought, David called on his people to lift up the doors of their hearts and open the gates of their lives to God. When he enters, when Jesus enters, things would never be the same. And like the people of ancient times, we can be sure that when we have opened up the gates of our minds, our spirits, hallelujah, all of our being, then we don't have to worry about no enemy working around to attack us. Because Christ, our King, who is a mighty warrior, has already defeated them all. You see, sin has been paid for completely. Satan has been silenced and chained. Death has been drained of his terror. Colossians 2:9-10 tells us about the King and the victory he has won for us. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Our King reigns far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. It's Ephesians 1:21. See, Christmas will certainly take on a new meaning when you understand, hallelujah, that it's the birthday of our Creator, our Lord and Savior, and the King. Oh, hallelujah. As we behold the Lamb of God, as we worship him, as we praise him and magnify him, our voices join with the angels of God, because he is our Creator, our Savior, and our King. When he came to bring us grace and love and salvation and reconciliation and so much more.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. So when somebody says, whose birthday is it anyway? You can tell them. Tell them from me. Well, it's the birth of our Creator, our Savior, our King, our Provider, our Healer, you know, our protection, our peace, our joy, because everything that God is, so is his Son, Jesus Christ. They are one. So I ask you today, is your Christmas going to be about Santa Claus and cookies, or is it going to be about crying out in glory to your Creator? Is this Christmas going to be about getting your savings on as you buy your gifts, or will it be about your Savior? Will your Christmas be about how big the gifts are you will receive, or will it be about your loving King? As I close today, It is my fervent prayer that if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, that today would be the day that you would make him your Lord and your King, because he's your creator whether you like it or not. You don't get a choice in that one. But it is up to you to make him your Savior and your King. So at this time, I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta to come in this morning and to extend an invitation for you to begin a relationship with Jesus. And thank you, and my beloved, you don't have to, wait till you fix yourself all up and think you can, you know, you can do it on your own and then you'll come to Jesus. No, Jesus wants you to come just the way you are today, and he will fix you up. So right now, give your undivided attention to Apostle Zeta Flowers.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to take you to the Romans, the 10th chapter. We've heard a wonderful word, and that word has entered into you. Praise God. It's in your mouth, in your heart, and it is the word of faith, which was preached by Apostle Shirlene Cook. If there's anyone that's ready to be saved today, it is very easy and simple to be. All you have to do is at first admit we all were born in sin with need of a Savior. So we want to let you know that all you have to do is confess with your mouth. First of all, we confess that we are a sinner. But Jesus died so that we could be saved, and that by grace. Now I'm going to read a few scriptures, and I'm going to lead you into a simple prayer. Verse 9 in Romans, the 10th chapter, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And salvation is for anyone, for anybody, because Jesus died for every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture also says, whosoever believeth on him, meaning Jesus, shall not be ashamed. No matter what your past was or what it still is, praise God, you can be saved today by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. All right. Now, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for us and then he was raised from the dead on the third day, you shall be saved. All right. Let's go into this prayer. You can pray this prayer along with me. Lord, I come to you this day confessing that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he was raised on the third day. And I desire to be saved today. I'm asking you to come into my heart right now. I want to be saved. I am accepting salvation this day from you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So anyone that has prayed this prayer along with me, and heard the scripture that were read, and agreed, you are saved.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Right now. Praise God. And I feel led to pray a prayer for you.
Yes, thank you.
Father God, I pray for these ones that have accepted you on this day. I pray that they will be led to be in a spirit-filled environment where they can learn more about you. A Bible teaching, a true Bible teaching where they can hear the true word of God service. I pray for them that they will receive that, that they will have that, and that they will learn more about you and have a relationship with you, and that they can grow and they can be also a service to you and to others. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Apostle Zeta. Now at
this time,
we are going to have our wonderful bishop come, because each and every week I ask him to bring a word for our brothers, because, you know, the head of man is God, and the head of woman is man, and then the man and the man and woman takes care of our children. God has an order, and we believe in that order, and we ask that Bishop Carver encourage our brothers to take their rightful places and to stand in their rightful places, so that families all over this world will be strengthened and led in the ways of God. Bishop?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Today, the message for the men is to move forward. And in moving forward, we're to embrace the freedom and the deliverance that we receive through the Holy Spirit in our life. The scripture that I'd like to call on is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We have to embrace the newness of what God has placed within us now, and not allow our past to hold us back, not allow the opinions of others to hold us back, not allow the guilt of our past and the shame to get in our way, because he says if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. God has done a new work in us, and so we are not to allow things that have happened in the past to hold us back from moving forward in the things of God. And we can't, just like you can't drive your car by looking in the rearview mirror all the time, you want to look forward. You want to move forward and know that old things are passed away. And sometimes even those things that we think of as being good, sometimes the things that we embrace as our past successes are embraced in pride, because God has greater things planned for us. We are intended to go from grace to grace and faith to faith. So whatever God is preparing you for, as it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, how it says that God gives us more patience, more experience, and more hope, so that we glory in tribulation. Understanding tribulation is God's way of getting us more patience, experience, and hope. And that hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we have to boldly embrace those challenges that are coming our way now in preparation for the next assignment, and not allow our past successes to be things that we hold on to, because God is always doing something greater. God is always doing something more. And when we allow ourselves to walk into the new thing that God is doing, understanding that all things are to become new through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, then we begin to embrace that power and use that power and manifest that power in the earth, so that signs, miracles, and wonders can follow us in all that we do. That is the message for the men today, woman of God.
Praise the Lord, and thank you, my dear brother. That was phenomenal as usual. And men, our brothers, please, you know, write the scriptures down. Meditate on them for yourselves, so that you can get a deeper understanding for yourself. Amen. We have, you know, the devil thought he was going to get me today, but I fight back. So I just praise God that I was able to get through the message. I want to thank you all. that hung in there and listened to the end. I want to thank you all for just being the praying family that you are. Excuse me. And I pray that you will continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive at Network, because we have all kinds of gifts of the Word of God for you this week. On Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, you can join Bishop Lester Carver at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Monday, he will be teaching God's Great Love for Us. Tuesday is Tuesday night teaching. Excuse me. And on Friday, he will be teaching Every Man Standing in His Place. Hallelujah. On Wednesday, we have Apostle Zeta Flowers, who will be coming with Hallelujah, her lesson on joy and All Nations Bible Study. And then on Saturday, you can always join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit. So, family of God, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And now may the grace of God and the peace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. My brothers and sisters, you are dismissed. Go with God. Go in peace. And remember that God loves you, and so do we. To my Spirit Alive family that's in the sanctuary, I love you. Thank you for praying for me. Everybody continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And just know that you are truly appreciated and loved. Bye, family. I saw you ATs, both of you. Hallelujah. Thank
okay,
you, Jesus.
Now.
All right, yep. Now, we see you over there. Hey, Bishop, you did your thing.
Yes,
hallelujah. Thank you, Mother Mitchell. Love you all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Love you all.
Love you, Lee and Terry.
Love you, baby. Bye.
Yeah.
You guys. Have a
Bye.
Great day.
You too. Love you, Sister Apostle Zeta.
Uh-huh.